As we were going into the break, we had taken a call about some root problems. Some of your talking points here relate to roots and what happens to roots in the wintertime. I think that's an appropriate time to cover this talking point before we get to Bill. And the call's online at 1-888-767-4348. That's 1-888-ROSIE-4U.
Well, there's an adage that says, as go the roots, so go the shoots. The below-ground portions of our trees, if they're healthy, contribute to the above-ground parts of the trees. Unfortunately, all we see is the above-ground portions of the tree. So we're often diagnosing problems related to what we can see. We're examining the leaves. We're examining for insects. We're looking at other symptoms and signs. But quite often, in fact, the majority of tree problems are related to what's not happening underground or what is happening underground. Compacted soil, for instance, root architecture problems, you know, poor quality nursery stock, or just nutrient deficiencies, problems with irrigation, too much water, not enough water. But I want to talk a little bit about the importance of getting your roots healthy. If you get the roots of your trees, give them the best opportunity for the best development in good quality soil, nutrient-rich soil, you'll have, you know, far fewer problems above ground. You won't have to be worrying about the above ground parts of your tree. I wanted to just talk a little bit about getting your trees ready for winter. There's a great deal of research that indicates that root activity continues through the winter. It slows down at a much slower rate than the above ground parts of the tree. As they begin to slow down in winter, the roots are still in insulated soil. They're not getting, the soil temperatures are staying relatively warm, temperate, even as the above ground parts of the trees are cooling and the metabolism of the trees are slowing down. The research shows that the root activity continues sometimes all the way through the winter period of time. A lot of root growth takes place during the winter months. Consequently, research has shown that if you're going to fertilize your trees once a year, which most of our customers do. We do have customers who are on a quarterly fertilizer basis, and we fertilize their trees on a regular basis, like for their citrus, and sometimes we do some palm tree, queen palm fertilizer treatments a couple of times during the year because we find that we have the best success and the requirements of the tree demand that. But if you're going to fertilize your trees once a year, fall fertilization has been shown to be the most effective because the trees are uptaking the fertilizer throughout the fall and winter months, getting ready for the spring push of growth. If we're fertilizing our trees in spring or summer, you're kind of after the fact because the trees need the stored nutrients in fall to be able to have a nice, healthy push of new growth in the spring and summer. And the fall fertilization is really the best time to do that. So I'd encourage you to consider putting down a good quality fertilizer. People say, well, hey, I thought you weren't supposed to fertilize in the fall because that will push out some new growth, which will be frost sensitive and maybe end up burning. Well, that's often true, but what we recommend is applying a low nitrogen fertilizer product, high in micronutrients and vitamins that will give the good, healthy push for that root development throughout the fall and winter months, but yet not pushing out a lot of top growth in the tree. So there's a way of doing both, you know, encouraging that nice root development, but not doing it in a way that's going to push out a bunch of juvenile growth late in the year, which could be subject to frost damage.
On a deciduous tree, should you be watering those roots when the leaves are dropped? I've heard various things. Like some people say there's absolutely no point to doing it, and some say, no, they still do need the water.
Yeah, well, of course, because we don't have the high ambient temperatures, you know, through the winter, we're not getting the evaporation, the evapotranspiration, and also the trees are not photosynthesizing as actively, respiring, giving off water vapor, so the water needs of plants decrease significantly in the winter. But that being said, trees, all plants still need an occasional watering during the winter. You can reduce that watering cycle, of course, or the duration, but be sure that you're watering your trees deeply at least a couple, two or three times during the winter. Speaking of which, it also helps to prepare the trees for frost because soil that's holding water is higher in temperature, so it's going to be less susceptible to frost damage. They even recommend, watering all of your trees prior to a very heavy frost, because the soil that's moist will actually be releasing some of that moisture, keeping the humidity around the trees a little higher, which will minimize their risk of frost damage if we have a really hard cold snap. Watering is really essential to all your winter trees. Back to the point of a preparation of the root zone and trying to encourage that root zone, fertilizing is the first thing. If you want to do that, you need to be doing that soon, probably in the next month or so. It doesn't help to be fertilizing in December, but in the next month or so, probably mid-November, we'll sort of be tapering off all of our fertilizing programs. Now's the time to get on the calendar, get on the schedule to do that. The other thing you might want to consider at the same time you're doing fertilizing, if you have the ability, is to put down a light layer of compost over the root zone of your trees. Again, the compost encourages nitrogen cycling, reduces evapotranspiration, so it's holding moisture close to the soil. Keeping that root system nice and warm throughout the winter months. Of course, there are other benefits of dust control and erosion control and just improving the soil microbiology by encouraging that breakdown of the compost. A good quality finished compost is just a really great thing. It's like putting a winter blanket over the root zone of your trees. I know we can't do that sometimes if you've got a decomposed granite yard, but actually the granite is a mulch itself and it's providing some insulation, but it's not giving you the nutrient contribution that a good quality mulch would give you.
And as you're mulching, you don't want to cover the trunk of the tree.
Right, good this point. You don't want that compost right up against the trunk, because that ends up encouraging moisture to be wicked up against the trunk tissue, which can cause some issues. Also, you don't want the mulch, no matter where it's put on, all the way out to the drip line of the tree, if possible. Make it too thick. We're talking about 1 or 2 inches of depth of compost. This is one of those cases where a little more of a good thing isn't better. People feel like if 2 or 3 inches of compost is good, then 4 or 6 inches have to be better. No. What happens when you start getting that much mulch is you're going to be capping the soil from oxygen, and the root zone needs oxygen too, and that's transferred through the soil profile. And so you have to have a breathable layer of compost there that's going to let that oxygen in. And also the soil is actually breathing and putting out carbon dioxide and methane gas. So as oxygen is going into the soil, those other bad gases are being released from the soil. And so you don't want to put a cap of heavy soil of any kind of texture over the top of that root zone.
Let's get to Bill next on the line before we get to our next talking point. Welcome to the program, Bill. Go ahead.
Hey, thank you very much for taking my call. You guys got a great program going on. I got kind of three-question part here. My almond trees, I've done pretty well the first couple of years on those, and then probably the last 3 years, really got no production whatsoever out of them. This year, for whatever reason, they were loaded. I'm not sure what the heck I'm doing wrong. I live on flood irrigation. I got an acre of land, so I'm pretty fortunate there. And that was one question. My second question on my gardening, I keep all my flood irrigation. I made a little pond so I can feed my garden with the flood irrigation, so I'm not putting any chemicals in there whatsoever. Bermuda grass is kind of grabbing it pretty hard. I'm going to take my grass clippings, if I could, or if you tell me I can, and try to help choke that grass out of Bermuda grass, but it's tough to go on top of that. And my third question is, I planted a pecan tree probably 3 years ago. It's doing well, but it faced the west, and it burned it really bad. The trunk itself is starting to grow around it. Is that something I'll lose down the road here in a bit, or maybe it'll come out of that? But it's looking good, and it's producing well. And those are my questions. Thank you.
Yeah, I'll take that.
That's it?
That's all? three good questions. The first, with the pecan tree, once the cambium of any tree has been damaged by the sun, it's permanent damage. The tree can't replace the cells like our skin can replace the cells when we have a wound. Trees are not that way. They have to compartmentalize or close off that wound area, and they can put on some callus wood around that wound. But yeah, it's non-conductive tissue. Now the tree's going to have to live on whatever cambium was not sunburned to do for the rest of the life of the tree. So it is a handicap. Doesn't necessarily mean the tree will die, but unfortunately, a lot of our younger trees, when they're planted, if they do have a southern or a western exposure, can be sunburned, and it's a shame because the tree has lost a lot of that, as I said, that conductive ability to draw the water and nutrients up the tree. It has to requires that bark to do that. So now the trees have to work with the rest of the tree to do so. Which is an encouragement to remember to wrap those younger trees. You'll see a lot of trees that come right out of the nursery, especially our smooth bark trees like our pistache and our ash trees and others. They actually have a tree wrap and recommend keeping one on for the first several years until that bark hardens up a little bit and develops what there's a suberin is a compound that helps to develop the corky a rough bark texture on our trees, but young trees don't have very much suberin, and so it's a very, very delicate, thin layer of bark. And in our intense summer heat, especially if you've got any reflected heat, it's not just the direct sunlight, but sometimes it'll be the reflected heat off the wall or the reflected heat off of a concrete surface nearby. Then you get a double whammy of both heat from both directions that can heat up that cambium and burn it. But yeah, wrap those trees for the first couple of years, and that will be a big help. Getting back to the, I wasn't sure if I followed the grass clippings one, but I like the idea of using the grass clippings to actually block the sunlight. I've used grass clippings to do that. I've taken my the trimmings out of my grass catcher and just dumped them over some areas of bare soil where I have weeds growing. Just bury the weeds. And if the weeds don't have sun, they're not going to grow. So I like the idea of trying to, you know, incorporate. You're actually putting a mulch layer down, which blocks the sun, and it can kill and trap those weeds underneath and prevent them from growing. Whether or not you can do that with Bermuda grass, I don't know. Bermuda is so aggressive, it might grow up through that mulch layer at some point. And then all you've done is fertilized your
Bermuda's your Bermuda. Pretty hard
if it,
to
if it grows up and through and gets up on top of any mulch layer, it will then take it over.
If I think for Bill to really eliminate the Bermuda grass organically, it's called a backhoe. Or you want to do it chemical free? That's called a backhoe. And yeah, the almond question we'll address right after this.